Brother Daniel, come on up, brother. I'm going to be reading something while he's coming up. I won't take much of his time because he walks a little bit faster than I read. But anyway, I want to tell you why that I like rock and roll. Okay? Waves of joy flow over my soul when I think of the joy of the rock and roll. The solid rock on which we stand goes far beyond the efforts of man. To the bosom of a virgin Jewish girl, our rock came down from the Father's world. From this rock Moses drank, of this rock David sang. It was Isaiah's shade in a weary land, and on this rock God's children stand. This rock's blessing without a doubt, but when I think of the roll, I want to shout. Amen. To know my name is written down within the life book of the Lamb. By the red blood of Calvary, my name was inscribed. He made me a part of the heavenly bride. And to God's little children, there are blessings untold to stand on the rock and have your name on the roll.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Thanks, brothers.
All right. Canada, privilege to be here tonight. And I really appreciate Brother Mahan in extending the invitation. I will not be long. The reason being is man, I feel like I'm honored just to share the pulpit with these great men of God. I've heard Brother Paul several times here at Faith, and I've heard so much good about Brother Vaughn. And so I'm not going to be long because I don't want to take their time. But the Lord has laid something on my heart. If you got your Bibles, open it up to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 8. And I do appreciate Brother Jim and Sister Betty being here. They've heard this message before, but it is such a message of comfort. If I could only have one chapter in all of Scripture, no doubt for me it would be Romans chapter number 8.
That's great.
Romans chapter number 8. I love this blessed book. And I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able. If not, God certainly understands. But I want to stand as we reverence God's the reading of God's Word and time of prayer. We're going to start with verse number 28. Probably maybe what you could call one of the anchor verses of this chapter. And it says very clearly, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to become, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them also he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then say to these things? Now, that's our key verse right there, verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Father, I just want to say thank you for letting us open your word and, Lord, glean the truths and these precepts of this blessed chapter. And God, I know I can't do it justice. So, Father, I'm crying out for your help. God, touch my mind, touch my mouth. Help me say only that which would be an encouragement and to edify this church and body of believers. And God, if there's one here that's struggling with something, Lord, help this give them the uplift that they need. Father, if someone's here to not save, Lord, touch their heart and help them come to you before it's eternally too late. Bless these dear men who will follow. And God, just pour out your spirit upon us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. But I challenged our church a number of years ago when I preached kind of through Romans 8 a little bit. I challenged them. I said, you go home and you read this chapter, this one chapter, every day this week. I said, in all 7 days, you're going to get something different out of it. You're going to get these little gold nuggets. And something I've always wanted to do. I've never had a chance to, but I'd like to go to Alaska and to go gold panning one day. And here it's kind of cold, but if you go up in the summer, maybe it's not too bad. But I want to sift through all that sand and all that overburden, and I want to find them gold nuggets. Well, this is what you do, I believe, every time you sit down with God's Word. And so I love that verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Now, I don't know about you. I'm looking for the sweet by and by. But reality-wise, we're in the nasty now and now.
That's right.
And the world we live in today can be very discouraging. I made a decision a number of years ago to cut the TV off, to cut the news off. I figured if it's newsworthy, it's going to get to me somehow. And the news tells you what they only mostly what they want you to hear, and it can be very depressing. And you listen to them, they sound like atheists. All these problems are written to God. Well, I've got a God. Amen? I've got a Savior, Jesus Christ. And so if God be for us, who can be against us? But go back to the first part of that verse. What shall we then say to these things? Now, I love reading God's word and just sitting back and thinking on it.
Right.
Now, I have trouble comprehending. I tell our church, and my family knows it, my mind is like a ping pong ball in an empty warehouse. It's liable to go anywhere at any given time. So I can't comprehend a lot at one time. So I'll just read a little bit and I'll let it soak in. And I'll read a little bit more and I'll let it soak in. I'll read a little bit more and let it soak in. So I love God's word. It comes true. So when I read this, what shall we say then to these things? The first question to come to my mind is, what are the things he's talking about? And so I go back to the first part of the chapter. And with the Lord's help, we're going to look at seven things that we can, if we really understand, if we really comprehend, we will understand that God is for us. One of my dear mentors, God called him home a couple of years ago. Pastor Howard Richardson pastored in Maine and New Hampshire and some of the southern parts of Canada for years. He was preaching on Elijah one time, and he said, if God be for you, everyone else might as well be. Amen? You stop and think about it. So if God be for us, who could be against us? Well, these seven things shows you how much God really does. First of all, look at verse number one. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Now, we know the world wants to condemn us. We know Satan's the accuser of the brethren. He's trying to accuse us and telling all manner of evil that we probably do, but it's washed under the blood. And so no matter who's trying to condemn us, we will see a little bit later, it can't happen because we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who's saying, Father, even though they're guilty, I've paid the price. There's no condemnation in Christ. That's the first thing. Jump on down to verse number 9 with you, and we'll see the second thing. He said, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, folks, that's the biggest compliment anybody can ever give me or my ministry or our church is, hey, when we walk in, we feel the Lord here. We feel the Spirit of the Lord. Well, the greatest blessings that we as children of God has, it says in verse number 9, if so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Amen. I mean, knowing that the Spirit is there with us, and that's part of the Trinity. He's given us this part, the Holy Spirit. Man, what a blessing. And I'm going to be quick. Thirdly, what's the third blessing we understand? Verse 14. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, what does it say? They are the sons of God.
Amen.
Do you understand we're part of the family of God? You know, I was disappointed in our songbook the other week. I was looking everywhere to find that old hymn, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And our songbook don't have it, and I was a little depressed because I wanted to sing that day. But praise God, we're the family of God. You know, I look back, I'm 41, I look back, and the Lord's called my mom and dad both home in the last 4 or 5 years, and I realize what a privilege I was to be raised in a Christian home under a godly mother and a father who didn't live like he should all the time, but later in life gave his heart truly to Christ and served the Lord till the day he called him home. And I look back and see what a blessing to be a part of that family. But my, oh my, what a blessing it is to be a part of God's family. So we're the sons of God. Then look at verse number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. Verse 17 says, but if children, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So if so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Do you understand we're joint heirs with the Son, Jesus Christ? I mean, I can't fathom that. I have a hard time comprehending that.
Yes, sir.
You know, when my dad passed away last February, unexpectedly, me and my brother, you know, we were tasked, and he's out of town, so I was mainly tasked with cleaning out my father's house and realizing everything that they had is now mine and my brother's. And so all of those memories and trying to take care of all that, but I understand, I can't fathom it, but God's word says everything that Christ has is also mine.
Amen.
So are the sufferings, but so is the glory. Amen. That's what it says. And look what it says in verse 18. But I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
You know, I love our senior adults in church, and they always tell me, they said, preacher, enjoy your years while you're young. They say when you get a little bit older, everything hurts. And if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't work. You know. But I says, I remind you that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. So, I mean, I'm going through these fast. That's about four or five things right there. But look with me over and flip. Well, if you got the same type of Bible I do, flip over a page in verse 26. We'll see another one of these blessings. I've got it titled, I think this is the fifth blessing I've got written down. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. These infirmities, these weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, this is going back to the sufferings. This is tied in with these sufferings. Have you ever suffered and been so emotionally and spiritually burdened down you didn't even know what to pray?
Yes, sir.
I've been there, done that.
Yes, sir.
I know some of you's probably been like that very recently. I think of Brother Vaughn and the tragedy that they just experienced. But man, what a blessing to know is when we can't even put it into words, we got that Holy Spirit residing in us, and He's making intercession for us. He's praying to God the Father on our behalf. And though, so we not everything is going to go good, but we see verse number 28, it says, all things work together for the good. One of the coolest illustrations I heard explained in ministry was years ago. You see, if you ever sit down and you ever watch a piece of tapestry sewed into cloth, you know, if you could watch a skilled artist weave those threads and those different colors into a piece of tapestry, a piece of art, if once that piece of art is done, if you flip it over onto the underside, all you see is a bunch of jumbled up colors. It is a pattern that does not look pretty. It just looks like a mess. But if you flip that piece of cloth over and you see that beautiful tapestry, how all those vibrant colors are interwoven, what do you get? You get a beautiful picture on the upper side of that.
Amen.
A lot of times I think life is that way. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And don't say it's going to always go together for good. He says it's going to work together for this good.
Amen.
To those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. And so, and then we see lastly, the seventh blessing. Look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
Amen.
Now, folks, all of these verses are a blessing, but understand this verse 34. We saw over in verse 26 the Holy Spirit praying to us. We see in verse 34 Jesus the Son praying for us. So can I help you this morning? The Trinity is comprised of three parts: God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is praying in the name of Jesus, who's praying to the Father. So you've got two-thirds of the Trinity praying to the other third of the Trinity on your behalf.
Amen.
We can't lose.
Amen.
Amen. We can't. We just can't lose. And so knowing that we have this love, look at verse 3, how the chapter ends. Who shall separate us from this love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day. long we are a Canada sheep for the slaughter. But look what verse 37 says. Nay, or no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Amen.
So knowing how much he loves us, and then he finishes off in grand fashion in verses 38 and 39. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Shall death separate us? No. It's actually the doorway we walk through to get in the presence of God. Amen. Does life? Hey, he's the giver of life. Do angels? Hey, they're his spirits. They're his ministering spirits. Principalities of powers. They can't pass a law to make God quit loving us. Things present. There's nothing. He's present. He's the great I am. Shall things to come. What is this world coming to? It's coming to Jesus. Amen. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Nor height nor depth. What did David say? If I ascend into the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, you're there. You're there. Nothing can separate us, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Man, what a blessed chapter. But there's a couple of precepts right here. These promises aren't for everyone. You got to go back to verse number 1. To them who are in Christ Jesus.
Hey,
you got to be his child. And when you're his child and he's your father, everything will take care of it. That's the first precept. You got to make sure you're in the family. You got to make sure he's the father. The second precept is once you get in the family, you're supposed to be so excited we can't contain it. Tell everybody how Jesus is. You know, I've tried to be in a habit now. You know, most every down south we live in the good old boy states, I guess you could say. You go to every checkout line, they say, hey, how are you? And I've made it a habit. I've said, I am blessed thanks to Jesus. Amen. Lord's laid it on my heart. I want to try to write a track, something about that, because you know, in a checkout line, you can't sit there and preach a 3-point outline message or nothing. But I want to write a track so I can say, I'm blessed, and here's the reason why. Amen. And I think I'm going to put a logo on the front and say, hey, a blood donor saved my life. Amen. He did. He saved me forever. And he can save you too. But folks, if God be for us, everyone else might as well be. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Brother Sisk and thank you for Brother Vaughn. God, anoint them. Speak through them. Lord, speak to my heart. Draw me closer. God, have your will and way, for it's in Jesus' name we thank you and we love you. We thank you that you first loved us, for it's in that precious name above all. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Great, great, great. God. That's
a message.
Great.
Well, now-